Well, we have a split format today, and so we have the opportunity to hear from a local member, Mr. Fred Adia.
I hope everyone's having a wonderful Sabbath day, full of rest and spiritual renewal. Welcome to everyone joining us over the webcast. It's such a blessing to have that. I know you're here in spirit, and it's so much nicer that you can be with us through the webcast. Every year that passes brings a milestone in our lives. Some are bigger than others. I noticed this month we have many wedding anniversaries. Congratulations to you all. May you have many more. This year is also a milestone for our pastor, Mr. Randy Scriber, who's going into semi-retirement. This year, I have shared with you before, is also a milestone for me. I have been attending services of God with his people for 40 years now. Brethren, young people, I hope you heard that. I was your age probably when I started church, and you know, if you've been in the church very long and have known the history, we have thought that Jesus Christ would have returned by now, but we patiently wait. Hebrews 11 is full of people that patiently waited, looking for that city and that kingdom. I was went back home to Columbus, Georgia, and to see my niece graduate from high school. And I went to church there, which I always like to do. That's where I grew up. And those are, you know, we're all family, but I've shared so much of my life with those people. And they have been attending services in the same building for over 30 years. That's pretty amazing. So there's a lot to think about. And we know that the number 40, God has given much significance to it in his word. But we're not going to go into that right now. We all have a story. We all have a story. It varies in the details. But we go through the same process. All of us are on the same journey to the kingdom of God. Yes, as I said, we have different details in our stories, but we're all on that same path, that same road. Coming out of this world and growing in holy, righteous character till we come into the kingdom and family of God. I remember hearing that so often. Mr. Armstrong used to drill that into us. And that was our focus. And sometimes I wonder if we have lost that focus, that God is creating his holy, righteous character in us, and how important that is. Mr. Ralph Waldo Emerson, he was an American poet. He was a lecturer as well, but he said this. He said, life is a journey, not a destination. Others have put it this way. It's not about the destination, it's about the journey. I believe their point being is that, you know, live every moment to its fullest. Live for the moment. Live life to the fullest. Don't worry about the end result. Well, brethren, I think we all know that it takes both. It's the journey and the destination. To explain a little bit more about what I mean by this, or a couple of other quotes I would like to share with you. Yogi Berra, he was a famous baseball personality, said, if you do not know where you are going, you'll end up somewhere else. I think Mr. McKeon brought this out last Sabbath in his sermon, which was very appropriate and beneficial, I believe, for our youth. And those are things that we have all gone through as youth, trying to figure out what we want to do in life, where we're going. Another quote by Basil S. Walsh, he was a mid-1900s businessman. He said, if you do not know where you are going, how can you expect to get there? So these are very significant. They're simple, but they are so significant. Jesus Christ tells us in Matthew 6:33, out of his own mouth, he says, "But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So he gives us our focus. He tells us what our destination is, and we have to hone in on that. That has to be our focus, our bullseye that we're shooting for. I remember something, and I believe I heard it in a sermon years ago, and it has always stuck with me. It says, what if we spend our lives climbing the ladder of success only to find out that it's leaning on the wrong building? Think about that a moment. You know, people try to climb the success in this world, and this world is going to be burned up one day. This world is not going the way that God wants us to go. Anything we do in life, and this is for you young people, is very important to you, that anything you do in life, the path that you choose, you need to decide, is this going to help you draw closer to God, or is it going to take you away from God? I heard an excellent sermon. I went on the internet and tried to find it. It was an international feast site, and I could not find it. But I will work on that, and I believe it would be so beneficial for all the young people to listen to it. It addressed that very issue, and it was so good. I'm sorry I couldn't find it. We're also told in God's Word that what if a person gains the whole world and loses his life? What good is it? In 2 Peter 3:10, don't turn there, it says, "The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up." We know their end. We should know our end, our destination. God has given us promises, and God cannot lie. Also, remember this, if you are too busy for God, then you're too busy. So make sure you know where your life is going. And that is the title of this sermon, if you didn't get it in the announcements. It's called The Journey and the Destination. It's both. So today, brethren, I'd like us to consider, and I use that word consider, I chose it specifically or was inspired to choose it because it is significant. It means to think about something or someone carefully, especially in order to make a choice or a decision. God tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, and he gave Adam and Eve a choice, and he gives us the same choice of life or death, and he tells us to choose life. So we have choices to make. In our journey, we need to consider it carefully. God's Word tells us to walk circumspectly. We need to be examining every day of our life, where we're going, and how we're going to get there. And what are we doing to get there? Are we staying close to God through prayer and Bible study? So, brethren, let's consider this Sabbath day, our journey, and how to have a successful journey and reach our destination, the kingdom of God, the family of God. We should all be asking ourselves, where am I on that journey? Where are you? Is our eye fixed firmly on God? Have we been sidetracked? Are we in the faith? These are all scriptural in what God tells us to do. We're supposed to be examining ourselves. I hope we see how important it is to have our destination firmly fixed in our minds. We have Christ's own admonition, as he told us in Matthew 6:33. And we don't want to end up somewhere else. We understand, we hear every Sabbath and every feast day and every holy day the importance and the precious gift that God gives us. We hopefully understand that. And that there is nothing in this life or in this world or in this universe that can compare to it. That God wants to share his glory with us. He says, "I will share my glory with you." There's nothing that compares to that. I would like for us all to be reminded of something that I have shared with you before, also that I learned this past feast, that we are the first fruits. We are have the opportunity to be the priests of God. There's only one priesthood. There's not going to be another priesthood. What a pleasure and what a joy it is to be able to talk of God's word, to teach about God, to be able to say, this is the way, walk you in it. We are also going to be the bride of Christ. There is only one bride. How special that is. Now, lest any of us should get a big head, we should always remember that God loves us all. He loves all human beings, and it is His desire that all be saved. But I believe, this is me speaking, that like a family, we have different relationships within that family. Spouses, parents, children, siblings. And we all love each other as much as we humanly can. There should be that love there. But it's a different relationship. And we have that opportunity to be the priests of God, the bride of Christ, first fruits in the kingdom of God. And what a special blessing that is. Now, Satan would like to us to put doubt in our minds. Satan would like us to say, can I make it? Or I don't think I can make it. And I would like to share with you also another message. If you could go online and find this, I did find it. And the title is, Will I Make It? By Mr. Steve Myers. It's a wonderful sermon. And he gave it, I believe, partly inspired by a situation where he was talking to a long-term Christian near the end of her life. And she didn't feel like she was going to make it. She didn't think she was. And she needed some more insurance than him just saying, yes, you can make it. And so this sermon, God inspired this sermon. And it was given on July the 30th, 2016. A journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. A Chinese philosopher named Lao Tzu, I believe that's the way you pronounce it, said that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That may sound like a lot, but I believe I probably have been multiple thousands of miles in my 40 years here. Ours began, all of our journeys began when God called us. Do you remember your calling? God, we used to share that more often. I remember, you know, meeting people. And I guess maybe partly because the church was growing and more people were coming into the truth. And many of us have been here for many years now, and we've probably heard those stories. But they're good to think about and to repeat and not to lose that appreciation. Just recently in a senior Bible study, I hear that people were sharing the most valuable things that they have learned in the Church of God, in their life in the Church of God. I believe that would be valuable for all of us to hear. Well, our calling, brethren, is a miracle. It was a miracle, and God continues to work that miracle in our lives. It's like the miracle of conception, of the giving of life, of human life. And what do I mean by that? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 2. This is a familiar set of scriptures. But again, let's take our time and think about it. What a miracle it is. And like conception, a human being cannot come into existence until a sperm and an egg come together. Likewise, we'll read here in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 11, and let God's word explain it. It says, for what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man, as we're born human beings without God's Holy Spirit, the natural man receives not these things of the Spirit of God. In Romans 8, we're told that the carnal mind is enmity. Not only does he cannot receive them, he is enmity against God. For they are foolishness unto him. I'm reminded of another scripture about how God saves through the foolishness of preaching. You know, that's pretty amazing. The power of God's word, when you hear God's word, how it imparts knowledge and understanding and gives you faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It says, for the things of God are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. So what a miracle it is that we understand these words that God is giving us, that we know the truth, that we understand the truth, and that we love the truth. Have you ever had the experience of trying to share your faith, your understanding with someone that doesn't come to church? And they may look at you like you're crazy, like you maybe flew over the cuckoo's nest. Well, it's because we never fully understood, or we forget this scripture, that they can't understand it. But it is good to let our light shine and to let God's light shine through us. The scripture comes to my mind that God tells us that if we are ashamed of him and his words, then he will be ashamed of us. And so we don't want that to happen. We don't want to get into a debate or an argument. We can plainly state the truth and then go from there, depending on how they receive it. So, brethren, we see here how special our calling is. What a precious gift we've been given. Not anybody can just understand these words or have this journey that we are embarking on. It says in Matthew 13, verse 7, it says, for verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men, these are talking about people of God, have desired to see the things which you see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which you hear and have not heard them. Those people had direct access to Jesus Christ, to God in the flesh. And God has, from that point forward, continued to give us more knowledge and understanding of his great plan and of salvation for all of mankind. This knowledge and understanding leads us to the next step of our journey, repentance. Mark 1:14 says that Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God and saying, again, he has this focus. Jesus Christ gives us the focus. He gives us our destination, the kingdom of God. And then when he tells us, he says, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent you and believe the gospel. Repent. This isn't a one-time thing. This is a lifetime process, which I'm sure we all know. This is something we also must be doing daily, for I would think all of us probably sin daily. What is encouraging about all of this is our awesome God, who tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. We must then go on to produce fruit worthy of repentance. We must be overcomers, changing, and having the mind of Christ formed in us. But God, again, is faithful to forgive us. We just have to go to him. This is the straight and narrow road that we must follow, not turning to the left or the right and not looking back. We can never look back. We can never go back. We must be focused on our destination. To put it simply, we are coming out of Egypt and heading to the promised land, the family of God, the kingdom of God. A great message that may help put this into perspective. And brethren, you know, everything that we have, everything that we are has been given to us. We came into this world with as a blank slate. And as I said, I've been in the church for 40 years now. And I've been hopefully learning all of these years. So what I'm sharing with you is things that I have learned. I didn't come up with them myself. And hopefully God does inspire. And well, I know he does inspire. I appreciate the hymns that were sung today. They go perfectly, I believe, with the message. And I appreciate all the hymns that God has given us in the hymnal. But God will lead and guide us. We just have to be focused on him. But the scripture, or the another message I would like to bring out to you is by Mr. Gary Petty, which was given on April the 29th, this year, April the 29th. And it's labeled A Slave Mentality, A Slave Mentality. And it puts it in such perspective. You know, like ancient Israel, they were coming out of Egypt. We are coming out of spiritual Egypt. But why was it so hard? They saw all of the miracles that God was doing, but they still had that difficulty of believing and trusting in God. Many lessons. The Bible tells us that all those things were written for our examples, that we should learn from them. So after repentance, we have the next step of baptism. But before that, we have to do something. What do we have to do before we're baptized? What did all of us hopefully do before we were baptized? This eternal commitment cannot be entered into lightly. It has eternal consequences. So what am I talking about? We have to count the cost. We have to count the cost. There's a scripture that used to confuse me concerning this in Luke 14, verses 28 through 30. And it tells us to count the cost, whether we have sufficient to finish the race. And I used to think to myself, well, how can I count the cost if I do not know what I'm going to encounter? What trials? What persecution? Well, the answer is given right there in that same passage. Let's turn there. Let's turn to Luke 14. Luke 14, and let's look at verse 26. Verse 26. It says, if any man come to me and hate, that should be translated, love less by comparison, his father, his mother, wife, children, and brethren, and sisters. Yes, and his own life also. That doesn't leave anything out, does it? We must love everything less than what we love God. It says, he cannot be my disciples if we do not do that. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What do they do with a cross? They nail you to it. You can die on it. And we cannot hold anything back from God. That covers everything, brethren. But we are also encouraged. God does not give us just a bleak picture. He never leaves us without hope, without comfort, without strength. He tells us in Romans 8, verse 18, he says, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Let us never forget that. Whatever we're going through is nothing to be compared to what God is going to give us and do for us and make us. We're going to be the children of God. And it goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Again, we have so many examples of in the Bible. Job, what an awesome example that was. What he went through, the suffering and the pain. And Paul himself, who wrote these very words. I so desire to want to have the attitude of the Apostle Paul when it comes to this, when it comes to my journey, when it comes to living life. Let's turn to Philippians 3 and see what Paul's attitude was. This is beautiful and this is awesome. Philippians 3, and let's start in verse 7. We'll read through 14. It says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. So Paul had a lot in this life, like other people. Moses had much. He was at the top of this world, the world ruling empire of Egypt. And yet he gave it all away. He'd rather suffer with the people of God. So we have those examples. It says, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. And this is something only that can be given to us and revealed. And there's no way we can get it unless God calls us and imparts it to us. It says, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. What is it if I lose everything in this life as long as I have God in Christ? It's nothing. It says that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. We know that Christ was resurrected, and he wants us to be in his family. How awesome, how incredible is that? God has given us awesome and precious promises, and God cannot lie. This is in the fellowship of his sufferings. We're going to have to do some suffering, brethren. People out in the world do it. I've said this so many times in other messages. You know, people die for different things. People will die for their country. But what an awesome privilege and how great it is to die for the truth of God. Very few have that opportunity, that privilege. Be made conformable unto his death. There's much symbolism in baptism. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You know, Paul made a lot of mistakes. He persecuted the church. He was there when Stephen was stoned. This was a man of God. So I'm sure, you know, that weighed heavily on his conscience. But he knew he was forgiven. He let those things go, and he was moving forward like we all must do. It says, verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So then, brethren, if we make this choice, if we are baptized, our old man must die. And that's not an easy process. And Mr. Nathan Ekema delivered a message on that. Very good. It says, what exactly are we called to fight? It's ourselves so much, as I brought out earlier, as was brought out earlier, that we have a choice. And only we can make that choice. It's not up to anyone else. God tells us to choose life or death. Sure, we have outside influences, but nothing is greater or stronger than God. So ultimately, if we're relying on him, it is our choice. Even if we're not, that is our choice. So the onus is on us. What does our journey entail? God tells us straight up, as I have given you some insight into. There will be suffering, there will be some pain, there will be some persecution, but it's not compared to what God wants to give us. I love the story about, it calls her the mother of Zebedee's children. She went up to Jesus Christ and she asked him, she said, you know, I would that you would have my two sons sit on your right hand and your left hand. And that's found in Matthew 20, verse 22. And I'll just read it to you. It says, but Jesus answered and said, you know not what you ask. Are you able to drink of the cup that I still drink of and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? They were all over that. So they said, yes, yes, we are. We are able. And he says in verse 23, and he says unto them, you shall drink indeed of my cup and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with. So that tells us, we know that God, that Jesus Christ suffered and was eventually killed. The Almighty God, our Creator, our life giver and sustainer, our Father, who wants to give us all things, has the right to ask and require all things of us. He has given all for us. He gave his only begotten Son. Who in here would give their firstborn for someone else that they could live? 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 says, yes, and all that would live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. The Bible, I bring out so many scriptures, it's a problem, not a problem, but something I need to work on maybe to narrow down. But the Bible is like a puzzle, and God helps us to put it together. And here a little, there a little. And when we do put all the pieces together, we have a beautiful picture. So that's why I bring out these scriptures. They harmonize so well. And it lets us know what our journey is like. It says, if you were of the world, John 15 verse 9, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. Jesus Christ himself tells us in John 15 verse 20, he says, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. It says when they kill you, they think they're doing God a service. So, you know, that's something we must remember and not forget. Again, we need to remember these things when they're happening. It's one thing to know them, but when you're actually experiencing persecution and your emotions come into play, pain and suffering comes into play, it's a little different picture. I am reminded, and may we always keep this in mind, in Psalm 16 verse 11, it says to God, you make me know the path of life. God shows us the journey. God gives us the path. He leads the way, and he will help us to walk in it. It says, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Sure, Moses gave up temporary pleasures, but at God's right hand it says there are pleasures forevermore. We cannot begin probably to understand what God has for us. Though the journey may seem long, brethren, I encourage you to lift up those hands that hang down, strengthen those feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet. Hebrews 13 verse 5, it says, let your conversation, your conduct, be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a powerful verse, especially if you read it in the original. Matthew Henry's concise commentary says this about this scripture. It says, this promise contains the sum and substance of all the promises. It should read, or could read, I will never, no, never leave you. No, never forsake you. That commentary goes on to say, in the original, there are no less than five negatives put together to confirm the promise. The true believer shall have the gracious presence of God with him in life, at death, and forever. That reminded me of the scripture in Romans 8, where we're told, Paul tells us that nothing can separate us from the love of God, from the love of Christ. Nothing. And he goes through a whole list of things that are so powerful. And we're also reassured by God himself that in Philippians 1 verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that he which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I hope from this message it will fill you with hope, with encouragement, yet a sense of reality to know that what we will have to go through and that we are coming out of this world and how important that is. And we're moving towards the kingdom of God. And that way, that journey is filled with trials and tests. God is shaping and molding each and every one of us, developing the mind of Christ in us, his character. He is the master potter. As we contemplate our Christian journey, let us be mindful and never forget the exceeding great and precious promises that God has given us, that by these we may be partakers of the divine nature. That's 2 Peter 2, verse 4. So fight the good fight, brethren. Be overcomers. Bear good fruit and endure to the end, reaching our destination. And then we will hear our elder brother and king say to you and to me, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared from you from the foundation of the world.